I couldn't dance at all.
I kept stepping on my feet, tripping, and I was frustrated. And finally, I just said, I can't do it. And I just relaxed. And suddenly, I was, I mean, like, not on my feet. He lifted me off my feet, and we danced through the ballroom. Amazing, beautiful dance. And it was, the word I can come up with to describe it was exhilarating. And I woke up, and I felt the presence of God in my room. So I went, and I got my Bible, and opened my Bible, and I opened it to John 14, chapter 26. And it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Anytime I feel like I need to do something that I'm not capable of doing, I go back to this dream. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, and because I don't feel capable of doing this right now, but I know that the Holy Spirit is going to work through me and move through me, and so let's pray that he does that. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you, Father, for your love that you have for me. And I pray, Father God, that you speak through me. Holy Spirit, I pray you have your way. I pray that I'll get out of the way and you speak what you want heard. And I pray that you touch the hearts of your people. And I pray you get all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys a bit of a backstory first. So I'm the youngest of five children, and shortly after my mom had me, she needed a back surgery. She had degenerative disc disease, and so she had a back surgery. I was just an infant, and she nearly hemorrhaged to death. And she had a blood transfusion and later found out that she was infected with hepatitis C through that blood transfusion. And so she was sick most of my life. And sorry, I need to go to my notes. So and anyway, she grew sicker and sicker throughout the years. And I have a memory of being about 5 years old. I must have been five. I was in kindergarten and went to afternoon class. And so my dad would leave and go to work, take the other kids to school. And she was tired, just tired. She was a good mom. She loved Jesus, but she didn't feel good. And so she slept. And I remember being scared and alone. And I would get my Barbies and play out by her bedroom door. And I would every once in a while go outside and play on the swing set. And I remember anytime I heard an ambulance, I would run inside and make sure that she was okay and it wasn't her that they were coming to get. So I had this fear of losing my mom for pretty much all of my childhood. And so through the years, I watched her health deteriorate. And she was good. I mean, she was a good mom. She loved Jesus. Anytime we had friends over, she would let them know about, they always had an opportunity to know Jesus because they weren't going to leave without hearing it. So when I don't want y'all to think my mom was a bad mom. She was a really good mom. So when my kids were younger, I decided that I am not going to let myself be unhealthy because I didn't want them to grow up with that fear. And I didn't want to miss out on anything in my kids' or my grandkids' life. I had a goal of being a grandmother that was going to be able to do things with her grandchildren. And I was going to do all the things that my mom fell short of. I was going to be all that she fell short of being. And I did that. I was strong. I started running. I was bulletproofing myself. I'm going to be strong. I'm never going to be sick. And so I'd eat good, ate right. I ran. I became a marathon runner. I was strong and healthy. And until one day I wasn't. And so in 2019, I started having some strange symptoms in my body. I would go to the gym, and get a workout in, and I'd come home and I'd be wiped out for the day. That's it. I couldn't do anything else. I ended up sleeping, you know, being on the couch, napping in and out all day on the couch. And my heart rate, my heart would just race all the time. I had a resting heart rate of 120. And I was grouchy, I was tired. And then after those symptoms, I discovered a lump on my neck. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I need to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor and was in 2019 and was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism caused by Graves' disease, which Graves' disease is an autoimmune disease that your body makes antibodies that, an army of antibodies that attack the thyroid and causes the thyroid to produce too much hormone, and then which tells the pituitary gland to not make any. So my pituitary gland was functioning at 0%, and my body was going haywire. So we went to the doctor, and he gave me three options. And option was, number one was to take radioactive iodine and kill the thyroid. Option number two was to have surgery to have the thyroid removed. And then three was to take this medicine that will slow the thyroid down until I can choose if I want option one or two. So I didn't like any of those options. So I decided on option number three and to go home and pray and think about it. And in that time, my sister gave me a long list of scriptures, healing scriptures to pray over myself. And she loves to research, so she did some investigating and found a lady who was had changed her diet, and she was taking these supplements, and she was having some progress in her condition. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll do the diet, I'll do all the stuff. So I changed my diet, started taking supplements, and when I would go to read to pray these scriptures over myself, it felt overwhelming to me. And I'd been saved 40 years now. I mean, I know I've had lots of prayers answered. I've seen God move in my life and in my husband's life and my children's lives. But for some reason, that faith for healing was not in my tool belt, not at all. Thank God I had a husband who prayed when I couldn't. So for some reason, I had this image of faith as something that you had to conjure, a feeling that you had to conjure up and then hold it up for so long, enough time until God sees you and then says enough, and then you get your answer. I don't know where I got that idea. I have no idea. But, when you're sick, you talk about it, and you rehearse it, and you research it. And so in a conversation I was having with my sister-in-law, she about my health, she told me about a book about communion by Joseph Prince. And she gave me the book, and I started reading that book, and it was full of testimonies about people that had been healed with scriptures all wrapped up in it, and they were just being healed by taking communion. And I thought, that's weird, you know. I mean, I believe in communion, but I just thought it took so much more work than just taking communion. You know, there's got to be something more to that. So anyway, I started reading the book. And those scriptures that were in there, they started coming alive in me. Like, my faith started coming alive. And I realized that it wasn't that I didn't have faith. My faith needed to be woken up. It was asleep in there. And there was one scripture that really, really stood out to me in particular. And it's Isaiah chapter 41. Verses 10 through 13. And it spoke to the very circumstances that I was in. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So once I got a hold of that scripture, faith just, you know, rose up in me for a time. The enemy would come and say, try to tell me, you're not going to get healed because you did this to yourself. Graves' disease is triggered by stress. So he would tell me, well, you didn't take your burdens to the Lord. You should have cast your cares on him and you wouldn't be dealing with this. But now, you know, it's too late. Well, he's a liar, and we'll move on from there. And also, so I started taking communion. And another lie that the devil would try to come and tell me was that that's religious ritual. And I took that, and I almost felt guilty, like, oh, my gosh, I'm doing something that's holy, and I'm making it just everyday thing, a common thing. But then there was a chapter in the book about that, and it taught me that this is relationship. This is not ritual. And I'm going to God every day and thanking him for Jesus and for what he did for me and for, you know, dying for me, for suffering for me. And it's not out of ritual. It was out of relationship. And there was another suggestion. It's to read the Gospels and to see for yourself how many people did Jesus heal? Did he heal everyone that went to him? So I, you know, got my Bible out, and every day I would get a highlighter and I'd read through the Gospels, and not all in one day, but you know, and I would highlight anywhere there was an incident of healing, and I would highlight it. And so by the time I finished all the Gospels, I'm like, okay, yeah, he never, ever, ever turned anybody away, not one time. And so my faith is growing. So for 3 years, I had to go to the doctor every 3 months and have blood drawn and just be tested and whatnot. So I'm on this medication, and the doctor tells me, you know, 2 years is max. That's how long you can be on this medicine before it causes liver damage. So that was kind of scary to me. I didn't want to be on it. So probably after 6 months, I start, like, I'm not going to take this medicine anymore. So my husband convinced me, just take it down a little bit. Don't just go off of it. So I started weaning myself off. And things started looking up. Thyroid testing started, you know, they were coming back green. That's great. And I would go to the doctor, and every time he'd say, okay, so are you ready for surgery? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not having surgery. And so eventually when the tests started coming back normal, he's asking, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not taking as much medicine. So he's like, keep doing that. So for months and months, I'd take it down every 3 months. Like, I'm gonna take half of that. Next time, I'm gonna take half of that. And he would keep saying, well, keep doing what you're doing. And I got tired of hearing keep doing what you're doing. I'm like ready to be, let's cut ties. I don't want to see you anymore. So anyway, finally, he told me to, well, I just lost my train of thought completely. Thank you, Jesus. So, he was testing for remission, finally. And so this is like, I'm thinking, this is it. We're done. It's a year in. I've been with this doctor for a year. I've gone to the doctor's appointments, and where the people are sitting there with their bags of medication. And I'm thinking, I don't belong here. What am I doing here? And so I'm tired of that. And so he tests for, it's called the thyroid stimulating immunoglobulins or something like that. but it's the army. And I think of it as this angry little guys inside my body that are attacking. And so I'm like, I want to be done with this. And so he tested for that, and it was still high. You want to put that slide up? I'm just going to show you just a little visual. So this was the first test in May of 2020. It's supposed to be less than 140, and it was 367. So I'm like, no way. So I go home, cry all the way home. He'd lift me back up, pick me up, and move me on from that, replenish, you know, my believing, my faith. And I go back to the doctor, and it's worse. And I'm like, Lord, your word says right here, those who wage war against you will be as nothing. That doesn't look like nothing. So, but I, you know, I kept going back to the word. I kept taking communion every day, reminding myself, Jesus, you did this for me. Jesus, you did this for me. You died for me. You suffered for me. You took this disease on your body for me. And so that this is like every 6 to 8 months. This is the next one. So this is, it got down when the next test was down. 206, that's great. And then finally to 120, under 140. Praise God, I'm healed. That's remission. That's healing. And, okay, so, you know, that's exciting news. But I wasn't excited because I knew 2 years ago that I was already healed. It's like opening a Christmas present. They already know what's in it. So I'm like, Lord, I wanted the big ring the bell moment. You know, you've seen those MD Anderson commercials where they ring the bell, their family's with them, and they're celebrating victory. That's what I wanted, but it wasn't like that. But a few years ago, we were at the college and in church service, and Pastor Scott played a video of this man. I think he had Alzheimer's, and it was his testimony of how God had healed him. And suddenly, I was flooded with so much emotion. I was so excited and crying, and I realized I was healed too. He healed me too. And I kind of wanted to jump up and say, hey, he healed me too. But it's not in my character. So he gave me the ring the bell moment right there at church. It was great. So I know everybody's journey is a little bit different. But I know that without grace, without his grace came in and lifted me so many times. And that's a really quick story. But it was 3 years of struggle, 3 years of my faith rocking back and forth, wavering. And then I had to keep going to him 3 years after that because of the fact that he thought that I was going to come back. I mean, that I was going to slip back. As nobody just stays in remission. It's going to come back. Well, finally, last year in August, he said, I don't think I need to see you anymore. I'm like, praise God. So, but it's all his grace. It's going to look like I'm reading, but I feel like he showed me some stuff that I just want you to hear. He comes in and takes up the slack when we're weak, and he comes in with his strength. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. He's so good. He let me know that ultimately my health was from him, not myself. There's no way that I could keep myself healthy forever. And he paid it all on the cross. And that's why I can celebrate each morning with communion. You know, you celebrate a birthday. Why do you celebrate a birthday? Because you love that person and you want to celebrate that person. And that's basically why I still to this day take communion every morning, because I want to remember what he did for me. I want to just think about it. I want to remember it. I want it to be important to me and to keep being important to me. So I want to keep it fresh every day. And even though it's holy, it can be holy every day. About a year after I got my remission diagnosis, my children gave me a 50th birthday party, and each one of them made a speech for me, and there was a common thread in all of their speeches, and it was that, I hope I don't cry, it was that I was strong, and I was a conqueror. I was a warrior, and I was a champion. And I thought, that doesn't sound like me at all. I was scared. I was, you know, wavering in my faith. I cried a lot. I was grouchy. But Jesus is the hero of my story. He's the conqueror. He's the warrior. He's the champion. He's the strong one. Yes. And he made me look good and strong. He shared his success with me. He didn't withhold from me because I couldn't see the way out. He came to where I was. He even sat in that place with me for a while. I'd love to say that I had all the faith in the world and I conquered with my strong faith. But even when I was impatient and wavering in my faith, he stayed with me and gently directed me. He strengthened me, and I was able to rest in his everlasting arms. You know, this week has been a week of reflection for me. I've looked back and watched videos of my children giving me speeches, and it's been emotional. And just looking back at all the blood work and all the doctor's appointments, just everything. But I've been leaning into him. And it's funny, when you lean into him, how much you hear his voice. And I heard him in every song that I heard. Like, every song that I listened to spoke to me. And I wrote these lyrics down. I tried to find who sang this song. I don't even know. It was on my morning worship list. But it says, "There is a love that does not run when I'm broken. It does not fade when I am weary. It does not leave when I'm afraid. Rest in that love, the love that never lets go, the love of our Lord Jesus." You know, there's nothing greater than his love for us. So, it's early. I just really ran through that fast. I'm sorry. But I just want to, if you're dealing with something that you've been dealing with for a long time, some kind of sickness, something that you just need his grace to come in and lift you up and carry you, or to get in that pit with you. Sometimes you feel like you're in a pit and you need somebody to come in there with you and gently lead you out. But if you're in that situation and you want me to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to. So I just invite you to come up if you want me to pray for you. Okay, you guys are dismissed.